asked that at one stage, would he tell you not to tell, or he didn't. I suppose that the reason for that was that he didn't want you to realise what he was doing was wrong. If he told you not to tell, you'd think it was wrong, so you probably would tell. He was very, very smart, but apparently that's the type of way they work, that they can plan and plot every hour of every day.
And how did he make you feel?
Well, at the time, you didn't know. It's when you get older, it's the feelings when you get older that's the problem. You'd be very confused and scared, and you don't, like, it's very hard to know how you feel. Used, I suppose, and like it scars you for life. It never ever leaves you. It's a terrible effect on you. You know, we'll never be the same again, but we can try and move on now after yesterday, and that's
what,
all.
What age were you when he stopped the abuse?
It was probably about 10 or 11. I'd started hiding at that stage.
Hiding?
Yeah, I used to hide in the shed behind the house.
When you saw him coming?
Yeah, if I knew he was in the house and there was nobody else around, I would hide.
How long would you stay there?
Well, it would just depend. If I could just go back home after 10 minutes and say, oh, there's nobody there today, or if somebody else would come into the house, then you would just go on because you knew you were safe.
When did you find out for the first time that it was happening to somebody else, or it happened to somebody else?
I knew from a younger age that my sister was involved, but I had no idea that there was another two members of my family involved. It was probably just after my wedding 6 years ago. And he turned up at that, so...
He turned up at your wedding?
Yeah. He had been invited, like, obviously he didn't come uninvited, but just it's a small neighbourhood and he was invited to avoid people asking questions, oh, well, how come he's not asked and that there, so I thought the easiest thing to do is ask him, so myself and my sister made a plan that she would ring him and tell him not to go. So he would definitely listen to that. Like, there's no way he would go to my wedding, like. Mm. So she did. She made the phone call, and she was halfway up the aisle when she spotted him sitting on the seat. He stayed for the whole day. Sat at the reserved family table then beside my nieces and nephews in front of the top family table.
How did that make you feel on your wedding day?
It was just a disaster, to be honest. It was very tough. Just, like, my sister doesn't even remember my wedding, and I remember it, but it was hard, you know, because at that stage I'd known my brother knew, and there was just a tension all day. I didn't realise that the other people involved knew then as well, but I didn't know what they knew, because I didn't know they were the same as us. And, but after that, I sort of said to myself that day, you're not going to get away with this.
He ruined your wedding day.
Yeah.
And did he speak to you on that day? Did he approach you?
He didn't. No, he didn't.
He didn't come near you?
No.
But did he look at you?
Yeah, well, because he was sitting right in front of the top table, like, I couldn't avoid him. He was just sitting there, right in front of me for the whole time that I was sitting having my dinner and speeches and everything.
And you say that was the day, or days after that, you decided that's the last time you'll have a hold on me.
Yeah, well, the day after that, then people started, when we came down in the morning to the bar, he'd been in the bar, and people started realising what's going on here, there's something, you know, people started realising there was tension and there was something going on, so another few family members were made aware of what happened then, and gradually after that, then it all started coming to light, the extent of what really happened.
People started talking?
Yeah, it all started to come out then, gradually, and we realised.
How hard was that for you when it did all come out?
It was very hard.
How did you feel?
It was very tough to think that half of your family was destroyed by this evil man. Like, how could he do it? We were very close to that family. Don't get me wrong, we still are very close to the rest of that family. They've supported us. They supported us yesterday, and they have done, apart from him. But the rest of his family have supported us. And they've been there from the beginning. And they will be there for us. But as for him, I don't know, just what, can't explain how, the way he worked, he was very intelligent, very smart.
And
he never once showed any remorse for what he'd done. He, up until last Monday, was the first night that we went back to our hometown and we could say, he's not here, he's gone.
Because when he was on bail, you were still seeing him, I presume.
He was still there every day when we were on bail. When he was on bail, the case was going on for 3.5 years. And even 7 weeks ago, when he pleaded guilty to the first 14 counts, Judge Paul Carney still released him on bail. And that was, we found that really, really tough. The fact that this man pleaded guilty and he was still back next door to my mother and father, like, it was...
He was allowed home.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. We thought at least at this stage when he'd pleaded guilty today, like he'd be gone, but he wasn't. He was still back up and down the road. Anybody that knows him knows what I mean. His head in the air, smell in his face, never showed any remorse. He was never one bit sorry, and he wasn't one bit sorry yesterday either.